Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you. Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart. And you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know, it's more than a feeling. Jesus said it in his word, you cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything, he'll make it all.
Yes, he will. He will make it all right every single time. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and you are listening to Don't Give Up Radio Show. So glad to be with you another week. And today we are going to be speaking with model and author Charlene Alston Taylor. Now, she is a cancer survivor, but she is also one with a secret that she is finally sharing with the world. And I'm very happy and thankful to have her on the show tonight, Charlene.
Hey, Jackie. How are you?
Very good. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and have me on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, this is one of those times when it pays to ask, you know, just to throw yourself out there. I was sharing that Charlene was in Essence magazine. She's on in the issue with Prince on the cover. And I happened to be going past the newsstand. I noticed the cover, and I picked it up because Prince was on the cover. He's almost never on American commercial magazines. And I have a habit of reading from back to front. And your article, your piece, was actually towards the back. I never got to the Prince article, right? Because, you know, I was so captivated by you and the other three women.
Wow.
Who were featured, and I feel that that was the real reason for me picking up the magazine, and I contacted you, and you were so gracious to say yes and to be on the show. So I'm excited for people to hear your story, and I know for sure that it is going to touch others.
I pray it does. Thank you so much.
So I want to start with your story. We're going to go back because you actually were diagnosed at a very young age. You're only two and a half years old. And so part of this story, you know from family and parents sharing with you. But can you tell us how did your family find out that you actually were suffering with cancer?
I was actually, so strangely, I was actually outside playing with my siblings in the backyard. And my oldest sister noticed that there was blood on my clothing, and she rushed me in the house to my mom and dad, and they actually rushed me to the hospital, and they did tons of testing and evaluations, and the doctors can actually see the tumor coming out of my body.
Wow.
So it was really very shocking, but the tumor was actually coming out of my body.
So now you're at the hospital, they've examined you. What was the verdict of the condition and the treatment for it that they provided to your parents?
Well, it was actually discovered that that tumor was cancerous. It was a cancerous tumor, and it was a very rare form of cancer called rhabdomyosarcoma. And what it does, it mostly affects children under the age of 10 years old. The doctors actually gave me a 50-50 chance to live. But they did their best, and what they discovered was because the cancer was rare, they suggested three other hospitals that specialized in my type of cancer. And so my parents decided to continue my treatment at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, and I was treated there with surgery and chemotherapy treatments and radiation treatments.
Wow. That is a lot for a 2-year-old body to go through,
yes.
chemo, radiation, and I'm sure you're spending all of your time in the hospital, and I you probably don't remember any of this, but for your parents, because I'm a mom, and I know what it's like even when they get the slightest fever, you know,
mm-hmm.
how we feel
right.
about that. So what got your parents through that very difficult time?
I discovered what got my parents through was their faith in God. And that got them through. And again, you know, they just gave me a 50-50 chance to live. And, of course, they was worried. You know, I was their child. But they relied on their faith in God for my healing. You know, very thankful for the doctors and the nurses and the care at the hospital. But their faith in God was what they depended on for my healing.
And, you know, this cancer, you shared that it attacks the soft tissue.
Right. It affects the soft tissue in your body. It affects different areas of your body, your head, your neck, your private vaginal area.
And
very rare form of cancer.
For you, when they found you and your sibling found you and you were bleeding and they checked you, it was actually coming from your private area.
Private area. The tumor was actually coming out from my private area. And
wow.
That actually what scared my parents. I mean,
right.
really scared my parents. And, you know, they rushed me straight to the hospital.
So now here's this cancer verdict. 50-50 chance, you go through the chemotherapy and the radiation, and you said to me when we were talking earlier, you said that it wasn't the cancer, but it was the after. Now, can you explain to listeners what that means?
Yeah, it was definitely the after, and because of where the cancer was located in my body and the rareness of the cancer, I was actually forced to have a permanent ostomy. And listeners might say, well, what is an ostomy? Now, an ostomy is surgically created opening in the body for which discharge of body waste leads. So that's my bladder and my bowels. So it's like they take a part of your small or your large bowel, and that can be seen through the abdomen wall, which is called a stoma. And I have 2 ostomies, and they're located on each side of my stomach, just right at the navel area. And they're, because of that, I have to wear ostomy bags. And those bags are used where the waste can come out and where it's stored at. So if you can just imagine 2 ostomies, I mean, and that came at age 3 years old.
Okay. All right.
So that was definitely, yeah, definitely.
And this wasn't something that they projected would be temporary, that would last you a couple of years. This is something that is forever.
Yeah, this is forever. This is permanent. And this would be, you know, for the rest of my life.
I have a little idea what you're talking about because my former husband, he was diagnosed with kidney failure at the age of 29, and, you know, we had a decision whether or not he would do dialysis or, you know, get an ostomy bag to hold the bodily fluid, the urine. And, it's a decision that he had to make, but with you there was no choice. This was something that had to be done for your survival. So the cancer was gone, but you
right.
have these bags that you're going to live with for the rest of your life. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
Talk to me about how that affected you.
It affected me in so many ways. I mean, I was just, 3 years old. Again, you know, I was free from the cancer a year after my diagnosis, but then you have your ostomy bags and, you know, just being a child. You know, your child and just learning how to change your ostomy bags. You know, my parents taught me how, but now I have to kind of take this on myself And, you know, I'm just trying to be a normal child, go out and play with my friends. And, you know, you're just playing and you know, not really kind of paying attention, you know, when it's time for you to change your bags. And you're pushing that to the limit. But then, you know, you have your friends like, oh, something smells, something doesn't smell right. And so I'm thinking to myself, that's me, you know. And So you feel that embarrassment, you feel ashamed. And, you know, I had a situation that happened when I was in middle school, and we were on a school bus. We were on a school bus, and my bag burst. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And a bus driver stops the bus. And, you know, we're kids. We're pre-teens. And the bus driver thought that one of the kids let a stink bomb off on the bus. So, you know, like stink bomb is something that smells, is
right,
an odor, smells foul.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time, Jackie, that was my bag that burst.
Right,
and I'm
right.
thinking, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And this bus driver is still, who did it? Nobody's getting off the bus until I find out who threw this stink bomb on the bus. And I'm trying to cover it up with my sweater. And, you know, he finally let us off the bus. And, Jackie, I ran home. I cleaned myself up, and I never told anyone that situation. You know, and it was just such, it was, like, devastating to me. You know, I'm a preteen, and I'm just trying to, you know, be normal. But at the same time,
right,
this situation
right.
happens, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this can't be happening now. You know, I'm embarrassed. My, you know, friends didn't know. They had no idea, but it was just so devastating.
Well, being a teenager is hard enough. You know, we're going through puberty. Things are growing. You know, hair's
right,
coming
right.
out of strange places. We have our cycle, body odor. All kinds mm-hmm. of things are happening during this period of time that's difficult enough. And so here you are, you're having to deal with this extra situation. What I find amazing about what you're telling me, though, is even though it seems like you had a very solid family, loving parents,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you ran home, you cleaned yourself up, and you didn't tell anyone. You didn't have any kind of confidence or support mm-hmm. system, you know. And when these things happen to you, I know that doctors, you mentioned Sloan Kettering, and at the time, you know, they're great with preparing you for all the physical things that need to happen,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily the psychological, social, emotional type stuff. Since you didn't have the communication with other people, did you at least have a relationship with God at that time?
Well, not that particular time in my life, not yet anyway. That came later, you know, unrelated to my condition. But my mom, you know, she will always say to me and share with me, you know, she will always say to me, Geraldine, you need to share your story. You know, you just I know you're young, you're a teenager, but you know someone needs to hear that. And I'm thinking to myself, oh no, not me. I'm not telling anyone. Of course, my immediate family knew, but I was like, no, I am not doing that. Especially since the situation with the school bus. I mean, I was still ashamed, Jackie.
Right, right.
You know, and, you know, it wasn't my fault what happened to me in life, but at the same time, I mean, like you said, I don't think the doctors prepared me mentally for it, to handle this, and I just felt the shame for a long time.
Well, you know, it's interesting with mothers, especially praying mothers, sometimes they have the insight to see things that
right.
we can't see down the road, and she knew God well enough to know that he turns
yeah,
things
absolutely.
Around. He turns situations
mm-hmm.
and circumstances around. So we're going to play a track right now, and when we come back, we're going to find out how God started moving in your life.
Sure.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends, they let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me, around for me, around for me, it's turning around. Just say it into the atmosphere.
Around for me. Around for me.
Turning around.
Turning around for me.
Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is
making a way. A change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
There's no reason to doubt.
I know he's working it out. And it's
turning around.
This is the good news. And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concerning me, and sooner or later it'll turn in my favor.
Sooner or later, turn in my favor.
It's turning around. Concerning me, and sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Sooner or later,
turn in my favor.
You know, God is so faithful. He can turn situations around when we can't see it, when we can't even understand how it's going to happen. But if we hang in there and we trust in his loving, faithful hands, he will guide us through. And I've got to say, if you are not yet in a relationship with him, you know, this show is here to call to you and beckon to you to really trust in Romans 9, 10, and 9, that if you confess with your confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. And, you know, Jolene, you said at the time that you were going through this as a preteen, your family knew the Lord, but you personally didn't. But later on in life, you know, a good friend invited you to church, and you kept going, and finally the Lord, you know, drew you, and you made that profession for yourself, and you came into that relationship. For yourself, and it's interesting because, you know, doors open and things shift and move, and you found yourself in a situation where you came into modeling late in life. It wasn't something that you planned or intended to do. How did that happen for you?
Well, as you said, I started late, and I was just in the mall shopping, and someone was passing out a flyer for a model. They were having an open house at this modeling company. And, you know, it sounded exciting, and it was alluring. And And I said, oh, okay, well, just let me just go, and I'll just listen to what they have to say. And just maybe, I'm thinking, you know, maybe this can actually help my self-esteem. And I went, and I just sat, and I listened, and I listened, and I listened. I'm like, oh, okay, I think I can do this. I think I can do this. And I did.
Okay, so now tell me, knowing what I know now, how did this work for you when you, you know, when you started to go to the classes and you started to grow and develop? How did it feel on you? How did it work out?
It felt good. Now, what happened was I went and, you know, I enjoyed them teaching me everything about modeling, and that actually became a passion. It became a passion of mine, and I started doing very, very well, and they started using me for runway shows and showcases and even traveled a little bit. So it was good. It was good.
So did they know about your condition?
Oh, not initially. No, this is still my secret. And
okay.
I still kept it a secret, but until I started, you know, they started putting me in fashion shows and showcases. I said, well, listen, I'm going to have to tell my director at least, because, you know, with the ostomy bags, I still had some limitations as far as certain clothing was concerned.
Yeah, you weren't doing bikini wear. That was
not at all. Not at all. So I said, I said, I have to tell my director. At least, you know, my restrictions of what I, you know, can and can't wear. But, you know, my talent kind of spoke for itself, so it was good.
I'm happy to hear that, and I'm trying to still figure it out, though, because I have daughters who, you know, have done runway, and they tell me about all the girls being in a room, and not having any privacy. So how did you manage it? How did you work that out?
Well, you find a way to make things work, and I just kind of found some spots and, you know, went into my little corner, and changed, and after a while, my instructor was like, well, you know, I talked to him about, of course, having my ostomy bags, and, you know, people wondered, like, okay, you're modeling. How are you gonna like cover up, you know, these ostomy bags? And that was another kind of situation that came up. And again, Jack, I just kind of figured out things. You know, I was like, I'll just, you know, let me try different things, and nothing more than, you know, certain women, not all women, but certain women wear. And I just say, okay, I'm gonna try to wear a girdle.
Right.
And my purpose for it was, I mean, I'm already slim and tall, but my purpose was just to keep my ostomy bags in place.
Right.
Just to have that security, you know, and that's what I did, Jackie, and it worked.
Okay. So now you said early on that you thought about going into modeling because of the fact that you thought it might help your self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here you are, you know, finding places to dress and your girdle. Would you say that it did help your self-esteem?
I believe it played a big part in helping my self-esteem. You know, it helped me a lot. It gave me, the confidence, and it gave me a sense of, just because you have two ostomy bags, Geraldine, that doesn't mean that you can't do certain things. Because, as we know, all things are possible. All things are possible. But, you know, I was still battling, Jackie, in my mind. I was still in that place of being ashamed and, you know, trying to conquer something that really was not visible. Like, my bags were not visible. So, but in my mind, I'm thinking, can people see? Can people tell? Are people staring? I was good at modeling, but in my mind I was still fighting that battle.
Exactly. So you're good at it. People are telling you you're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the mind still plays those tricks on us. And it's the natural insecurities that we have that we need to override with the word of God and, with reality, you know, to really take a look at what's going on in front of you. But I'm happy to hear that it actually was a self-esteem builder for you. How did you manage guys, because the reality is you're a model, you're attractive, you're walking down the runway, there's photographers, so clearly you're going to grab the attention of guys. How did you deal with that?
You know, I was still kind of kept to myself, and, you know, guys were attracted to me. I was attracted to them, and, you know, I was a young adult, and, you know, I just – again, I just find ways to get around things. And I had, like, a trick up my sleeve, you know. I just, you know, I wanted to be involved with guys. But, of course, this thing in my mind, I'm thinking, will they understand? You know, and I just kept an emotional distance. So
okay.
Whenever I got close, I was just, like, break it off. You know, the runner in me did exactly just that. Just ran, you know, and I'm, you know, what am I running from, Jackie? You know, I'm running from, I don't want to be rejected. I wonder,
right.
You know, is that guy going to understand, you know,
because
there's a lot to understand.
Right.
So I'm
right.
thinking, no, I'm thinking to myself, nobody will, especially a guy. No guy is going to understand. And, you know, that was a little tough for me. That was a little tough for me because I wanted that, you know, but in my mind I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to think, and I just didn't want to feel that rejection. It just, you know, I had already been through a lot, you know, and, you know, had a good life, but, you know, you get older and you're like, oh, my gosh, now I'm at this point in my life. So, yeah.
I definitely can understand that. And I'm listening to you, and I know that, again, just relating in terms of being a regular teenage girl and the many difficulties that an adjustment period that brings, I'm sure young women listening could, you know, they're thinking about it and reliving, you know, their moments through middle school and high school. And, it's hard not to slip into the blues. It's hard not to...
Yeah.
Let that mindset that's always concerned about rejection to come into play. And that leads us really right into the title of your book, which is called Pretty Girl Blues. I didn't mention that at the top of the show, Pretty Girl Blues. And that sounds to me, because here you are, you're a model.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting your, you know, self-esteem from there. You have faith in God. You've got a supportive family. But there's this internal angst and external pushing people away because of this fear of rejection. And and you do that long enough, you're going to feel very isolated and very alone. And I would imagine that started to affect you.
Yeah, it did. It did affect me. And I needed to find a way, you know, for that breakthrough. And I did, you know, I did.
We're going to discuss that as soon as we come back from this track.
Sure.
And find out exactly how the Lord took on your battle and helped you to get through to the other side, because he's wonderful and faithful to do that.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Jesus.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Hello, we are back with Jarlene Alston Taylor, model and author of Pretty Girl Blues, and we're really at the turning point of her story, a young woman who was diagnosed with a rare cancer that attacks children at the age of two, and she went into extensive chemotherapy and radiation and was able to overcome the cancer. The cancer is gone, never came back, but lived her life with ostomy bags. And for those of you who are just joining us, they're really retaining the bodily fluid, the waste from the body. And so there's all kinds of cons that come along with that. And we've shared some instances that we can all relate to in terms of the embarrassment and the emotions and the rejection that, you get from people who just don't understand. And right before the song, The Battle is the Lord, we talked about the blues and the fact that when you're dealing with something that seems so daunting, so bigger than you, that it can really start to have an effect on your psyche. When did you realize that you were dealing with depression?
It actually started, that bus incident in middle school when my bag burst, and that actually what started my depression. And I was hiding it, not communicating to others my feelings and wearing that mask. And I got tired of it, but it was like it was never going away. That mask was like getting thicker. I was piling it on more and more and more. And that mask is getting thicker and hard to cover up.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept on covering up, and
that's a very consistent issue with all of us who put on the mask for whatever mm-hmm. reason that we put it on, is that we put it on as a cover up, almost to kind of make other people feel comfortable, and to kind of ease what we're going through. But then there's this moment where, I'm thinking about this Jim Carrey movie, The Mask, where he put it on, and at first it was doing everything he wanted it to do. But
right.
at some point it takes over,
right.
and you don't have the control, and you're getting lost inside of this mask that you're wearing, that you put on. And as you mentioned, the not communicating part, the fact that you weren't talking about this.
Right.
You were talking about it, but were you also not thinking about it?
I wasn't. It's in your mind, but at the same time, you're just trying to move on in life, and you're just trying to be normal. It kind of like comes and goes. It's not like a constant, feeling of down and depressed, but is there enough? It's there enough, and oftentimes the enemy just needs to put that little bit of negativity in your mind, and you're falling right back in, to how you felt. You're just crumbling inside, and keeping your feelings from your family, your friends, and you're back. It's like you're going back in that hole again.
I hear you say to me, I went home and I cleaned myself up and I didn't tell anyone,
mm-hmm.
and that, you're also saying that was probably your first moment of dealing with
yeah.
the depression, the seed, mm-hmm. the kernel of it growing inside of you,
mm-hmm.
and I'm connecting that with the fact that you kind of just wished it away. It didn't happen, push it down,
mm-hmm.
and would you say that's pretty much how you are approach situation after situation as you went through the years of life?
Oh, yeah, you suppress it. You try to suppress those feelings, but yet still you're not dealing with them, though.
And at any point did the people around you notice, that you weren't exactly yourself, or you were, having any depressive symptoms or withdrawing or anything like
no,
that?
No, not at all, because, I just, try to be normal, and I was a model. I looked good. I had friends, a wonderful, wonderful family. And I felt, I felt I still had to cover up and, look happy, but not the case on the inside. We can dress up and cover up the outside, very, very well.
Right.
But it's that internal, that we need to repair, we need to fix.
So what was the breaking point for you to say that something's got to give here, something has to change?
I had a mentor in my life, and she suggested journaling. And it started after another surgery. I was home recovering, just, again, feeling sorry for myself. And I started journaling, and I started writing about everything I ever felt, everything about my sickness, how I felt about my self-esteem, all the things I had went through, and it poured out on the page. And it was like I was talking to God. Just telling, even though he knows all things, it's like I was talking to him and I was telling him everything I was feeling. And I was surprised at myself, the things that I had wrote down, but it became very therapeutic for me. And it started my healing process.
So when you said you were surprised at yourself, what was it about that surprised you?
I was surprised for what I wrote, what I was journaling about, but I was surprised at the certain feelings that I had.
Mm.
And I was just so surprised of what I was writing down on paper, but I believe God was saying to me, Geraldine, get it out. Just get it out. If you have to write, if you have to journal, get it out. Get it off. Get it out of your system. It's like you're talking to me. Tell me how you feel. Tell me what's been on your mind for a long time. And I'm telling you, I was just writing and crying. And it felt good. It felt good. I was like, it was like a relief. It was like I had cracked that mask. I had cracked that mask, and it opened up.
Yeah.
It opened up, and I'm like, thank you. Thank you, God.
It's amazing how little we know ourselves, that in that moment you were surprised at what was coming out of your own heart, your own soul. But, God is never surprised. He knows the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope in the future. And, when we come back from this next song, we're going to talk about what God has done in and for you.
Sure.
Dead air is never good on radio, so I'm going to talk a little bit until this track is just idling for some reason, but that's okay. Now, see. Yeah, it's just idling, so we're going to just go ahead and continue talking, and then we'll get that in when it's time to get it in. Must not be the moment for it. That's okay.
Not yet.
I don't mind. So I was just talking about Jeremiah 29:11, which many people quote. Some versions say, I know the thought that I think towards you. I know the plans that I have for you. But this is God speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that, my thoughts are of peace and not of evil. It's to give you a hope in the future. And sometimes we're going through things that are so difficult, so rough, and it's as if you are really the only person who is facing such things. Who else has to wear ostomy bags that you know? It's like, this is only me. I'm the only one who's going
through
this.
You're thinking, right, exactly. You often think, I'm by myself, I'm alone, no one understands, no one is going,
Exactly.
You often think that you're alone. You often think that you're alone and you're by yourself and, Who else has an ostomy? I was never encountered with anyone else besides, the kids in the hospital. So I'm like, oh, I'm alone. You know, who can I talk to about this? Who's truly, you know, really going to understand what it's like to have two ostomy bags?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
And thankfully, you know, you did have a strong family and you did have a good relationship with them. But at this point in time, you know, with the journaling, this is something now that was coming from you. It was time for you to look it right in the eye and for you to deal with it. So how did you come to the place where you are now, where you have published a book about it, where you're, you know, being, you're a public speaker, you're going around nationally to, you know, discuss this issue and bring it forth to other people? How did you get here?
You know, it first started, I wrote an excerpt of my story, and I gave it to friends and family, and I had a friend who asked if he could use an excerpt of my story to put in their church newsletter. And after that, I'm thinking, oh, everybody's going to know now. But by that time, remember, I had cracked that mask. So now I'm like, okay, my story is out. And then after that, quite a few doors begin to open just because I stepped out on faith. And I believe God, you know, he said, you know, you got to go out. You got to go out to the highways and the byways, and you have to tell your story. And it began there. And again, you know, doors just begin to open, And I had to realize, like, my story is not for me to keep to myself anymore, you know, and it's for somebody else. And it has been a blessing. It has been a blessing since that day.
So your mom was right all along when
She was right on all along. And like you said, she's a woman of faith, and she knew the reason why. And now I know the reason why. She's like, Geraldine, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to tell your story. And now I know the reason why. And that is to encourage and empower and to inspire other people to tell their story. And it just becomes a train effect. You know, one person tells their story, the next person tells their story.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, the key with that, what you just said there, is getting people to listen. That's really just it. You know, everyone has a story. It's
right.
Whether or not people are willing to listen, willing to value what you bring to the table. And and with that, I'm curious to know, how did people respond to you now? You know, this has gone out to this newsletter. You're invited to speak to a church. What was the response?
It was a wonderful response. And people, you know, definitely were inspired. And people, you know, they were like, oh, my gosh. You don't look like what you've been through. You know, I can't tell that you have an ostomy bag. You don't look like it. And it's been an overwhelming of blessings and definitely encouragement, and to just keep encouraging me to keep on going, and to keep telling my testimony, and just making me understand that, you know, my story is not a burden, as I felt, but is definitely a blessing. You know, I'm not a victim. I'm victorious. And, you know, just giving me that positive affirmation to keep going, Geraldine. Keep going. You're going to go far. You're going to be traveling all over. You're going to be speaking all over. You're going to be, you know, speaking to cancer patients and patients that have ostomies. And Jackie, it's just starting to come to pass.
I can imagine people with ostomies who, you know, maybe young girls who thought they wanted to be a model, and they're thinking, I could never, you know, I can't even go to my prom, they might be thinking. And here you come along, and you've done it, and you're able to share with them what God has been able to do in your life through his mercy and his grace. Mm-hmm. And so I could perceive that there would be a lot of power. Listen, I'm telling you, I bought that Essence magazine with the intention of reading a Prince article and never got to it, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
There was such purpose in that little, you know, I don't even think it was 200 words, but
right.
it was so powerful
right.
that I, you know, I said I had to reach out and I wanted the story to be heard by more people, and I pray that this is just the beginning. You said something very interesting. You know, when people respond and they say to you, "Oh my gosh, I didn't even know. I can't tell. I couldn't tell." You know, what I also heard was the flip side of "I can't tell" or "I couldn't tell," and that is for every person who has a secret, something that is their shame that they're holding inside, and the thing that echoes in your mind is that you can't tell.
Right.
That if you tell, you're going to be rejected. If you tell, no one will understand. If you tell, you're going to be blamed. You know, if you tell, they're going to think you're dumb. You know, all kinds of reasons that the enemy actually puts in our mind to keep
Absolutely.
Us quiet.
Absolutely.
And not to share. Do you want to expound on that a little bit?
And I, you know, I'll just take the flip side of that. What will happen if you do tell? Now, because we think of the negative, no one's going to understand. I'm going to feel rejected. You know, no one wants to be around me. I won't make friends. I can't do this. I can't have a career. But what will happen if you do tell? Because what happens is God takes what the enemy is meant for bad and turn it to good. So, you know, in my experience, because I did tell it, and what happens is people are inspired. People can say, if she can do it, I can do it. If this young lady can model with two ostomy bags, oh, my gosh, I can do it. And then what they when they say, I'm going to tell it. So now I'm saying to myself, oh, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it to this person. I'm going to tell it to that person. I'm going to tell it to Don't Give Up Radio. it's like you have to flip it now, because already, you know, the enemy is getting in your mind, don't tell it, because people are going to think this. But,
right.
you know, you got to be renewed daily in your mind, and you got to say to yourself, I'm going to tell it. And this is what's going to happen, and you got to speak those things as if they were. You know, if I tell it, this is what's going to happen, and you got to keep them positive thoughts in your mind. So we got to flip it sometimes, and we got to beat the devil at his game. And so now, I encourage people to tell your story.
That is absolutely right. That's why I do this show. That's why I do Don't Give Up Radio. You know, it was something that was burning in me. God was saying, you know, there are too many other women and people in this world that are feeling like you're feeling, and they need to know that I'm here. They need to know that I'm going to bring them through. The show was originally called Songs for the Midnight Hour, and I would say that the midnight hour is not a time on the clock. It's a place in your life, and we all have to go through a midnight hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting to the other side. It is the process, and I'm actually going to have a guest on the show in July who's going to talk about the processing of, you know, getting to the other. It's not easy. No one wants to go through the process. We just want to arrive.
Right.
You know, we just want everything to be hunky-dory. But the process is very important, and that's why on the show I really like to take the time and have people talk about the painful moment so that we can really see what God has done, because we've all gone through them. There's not one person who is going to escape and not touch. Now, prior to, you know, in the past, you know, you weren't a communicator, you didn't really have support groups or anything. How are you with that now?
I'm a part of several support groups, and, you know, I'm support groups that cancer patients and organizations and ostomy groups, people like me that have ostomies for whatever reason. And I tell people, the importance of, you know, being a part of support groups is people like me, who may have felt like I did, like alone and no one understands, and you know, you want to give that support of encouragement and you know, understanding, and importantly, people just want someone to listen. Like I did, I wanted someone to listen and someone that understood, and these support groups, again, are people like me and, you know, other things that may be going on, but, you know, they just need that support and, you know, someone to understand and just give that encouragement, because at one point I needed that. And so you want to pass that along to the next person. So I'm so happy and delighted to be a part of the support groups that I am, and it's definitely been a blessing.
Well, you know, I ask that question because no matter what the issue is that others are going through, you can't go through it alone.
Right.
Whether it is that you're praying for something to change, you need prayer partners. You need that two or three gathered together.
Yeah.
And God will bring people that you can actually trust and open to you. I'm witness to that. He will absolutely do that. But you cannot do it on your own. Yes, he hears your prayers, but there is power in the two or the three, and you want to tap into that. And then also just, you know, having someone that you can talk to and know that it's a safe place. And that might be a counselor, it might be a support group. It is important, whatever your issue is, that you seek out a safe place to communicate what you're going through and not keep it trapped inside, because that is what leads to the blues. That is what leads to the depression.
It does. And, you know, it's very important. I have, again, a wonderful, wonderful support. And, you know, I start with, of course, you know, my family. I have wonderful friends and, you know, a wonderful church family. And these support groups that are helping me as well. You know, not just me helping them, but we're helping each other. And it's like we're a community now, you know, and that community is a bond that, you know, that can't be broken.
Do me a favor. Our time has just vanished, as I knew it would. Tell people where they can purchase your book, where they can find out more about you.
Sure, absolutely. You can find out more about me, and as well as to purchase my book, you can actually go directly on my website, and that's www.prettygirlblues.com. Again, that's go directly on my website. It's www.prettygirlblues.com, and it's also available on Amazon, amazon.com. You just go on the book and pull up Pretty Girl Blues. So that's where they can actually get more information about me as well as purchase my book.
Well, I'm really excited that we had this opportunity to talk and share with you, and I'm sure you'll be on the show again because there's so much more to you and there's so much other areas and facets that the Lord has worked in your life that we can, you know, definitely share and encourage with other people about. But thank you so much for joining us. We did have a little technical glitch happen, but, you know, the most important thing got out, which is your story. And so I'm not worried about the music so much.
Sure.
Music you can always catch up on. I can post it on my Facebook page, which is Don't Give Up Radio. So when you go to Facebook.com, just type in Don't Give Up Radio. Make sure that radio is on there. And that will be me. And just like the page and share any comments about today's show. And until next week, I want you to be your own hero, because the greatest hero of all gave his life for you. That means you are worth it. You are worth something wonderful. We've got some great shows coming up in July. So until then, be blessed, and thank you for listening.
He's speaking. He's pouring himself right now for you. Oh, listen, this is what God is saying. For I know the plans I have for you. He said, I know just what you're going through. Yeah. So when you can't see what tomorrow holds and yesterday is through, remember, I know the the plans I have for you. That's what the Lord said. He said, see, I know the plans I have for you. And you, and you, and you. And see, I know just what you're going through. Oh, yes, I do. So when you can't see what tomorrow holds, and yesterday is through, remember, I know the plan I have for you. And here's the plan. This is what he said. Yes, he does. Yes, he does.